Recording in progress.
Okay, here we go. Good evening, everyone. Everybody ready? Okay, we have a special meeting of council of April 19th. Clerk will call the roll.
De Geronimo?
Here.
Tagliati?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Viverka? Viverka?
In the hallway.
Oh.
Hi, John.
Dale, can you just say you're here?
Here.
Okay. Walt Chanowitz?
Here.
Okay.
Great. We have ordinance 2022-60.
Title only.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
An ordinance amending ordinance 2022-52, authorizing the hiring of American Fireworks Company for professional services for the home days and tree lighting fireworks displays 2022.
Move the adoption.
Motion to suspend.
Suspend.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to adopt.
I have a question first, if I may.
After the motion, and then second, I will have, I'll have Chief answer any questions. So I need a motion, a second.
So moved.
On the adoption, any questions on the adoption? Councilman Viverka, you want to speak or you want council, you want the fire chief to speak first?
Let the fire chief speak first.
Chief, you want to explain what we did after the council meeting in response to council's request for more information?
Yes, I contacted American Fireworks. I looked into the possibility for a fireworks display on July 4th. They informed me that they were completely booked up for July 3rd and 4th. And they went on to indicate that they're, most of the display companies in our area are unavailable as well because there's a lot of pending contract requests out there for fireworks and they're not even bidding on them. So we looked at what they were available for. They're available for July 1st. This was one of the original dates that we had tentatively put out there because the rec department and myself always kind of look ahead of this early in the year. So with that date being available, we took our attention to, you know, what we could do with the current budget. And basically, we concluded that if we were able to increase the budget by about $6,500, we could tailor the shows to include this July 1st display along with the other two displays that we are currently have planned for. So in doing so, we took the tree lighting event down to a $10,000 show, which is going to be approximately 10 minutes long. Home Days show would be approximately 15 minutes long, cost $15,000, and then the July 1st would be about an $18,000 show, which would be around 18 minutes. I was told that the quality of the shows were going to maintain a similarity to what we've had in the past. It's just a reduction in time, and even though with the less product, it's just we're just reducing the time to get the same effect. So that's the current proposal was to increase the budget to have these shows.
Okay, Councilman Viverka, still have a question?
Well, I just have a comment. I've always supported the 4th of July fireworks in the past and would support it also. But I guess my biggest question is, we moved the fireworks to the winter time so that we would save our deposit. And then we had Home Days fireworks because of the COVID. We didn't want to have the large situation. But I guess my question is, now if we have the opportunity to do a 1st of July fireworks, is there really a need for one at Home Days? I thought the feedback, maybe the community service director, is she on?
Well, I could probably comment on that.
Go ahead,
yes, I'm on.
Go ahead, Chief.
In researching the move from the center of town to the park area, There was a big concern on the part of the vendor that provides the rides, the ride company. It's their experience that when a venue is changed, that they tend to see a big drop off on attendance, and eventually the event doesn't become, you know, solvent. So they were a little bit concerned on that. The addition of the fireworks is another draw to that particular event. So we were looking to do two things: having more space in the park during the pandemic for people to spread out, and then adding the fireworks was a way to ensure that event was going to be a good event and well attended.
Anything else you want to add, Emily?
The only thing I'll add is just to build off Chief's comment about a bigger draw. It allows the vendors that we have at Home Days, both our school partners and community partners, to increase the opportunity for funds that they raise during that point. And so I know that they appreciated that draw as well.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Viverka, was there anything else you wanted to add? Or?
Well, I know that there was a survey done by Community Services. Was the Home Days fireworks show in big favor compared to the one on 4th of July?
I don't think we asked the question relative to that 4th of July.
Emily, was there not a question related to Home Days fireworks compared to 4th of July?
So the survey that was sent out for Home Days was sent out by our communications director, Alora. There was a question about fireworks in that piece. Percentage, just around 60 said that they would prefer fireworks at 4th of July as opposed to Home Days, but it was less than 10% of the population that responded to that survey, with only 253 households responding. So based on kind of the lack of response there and our internal conversations about the overall benefit to the community by having that draw fireworks Home Days, the internal decision was to move forward to continue with fireworks at Home Days.
Now, you know, keep in mind, I mean, even before I became chief, there was always a research of whether we could do fireworks in the center of town. Basically, we couldn't do it there because the proximity to homes and buildings and things like that. So this is nothing new in terms of us wanting to provide them during Home Days. It's just that now we have that opportunity within the park with all the other amenities that are available for that event. So that's how it's kind of transpired now. It's unfortunate that last year we did have a little bit of rain that kind of interrupted that, so we didn't get a, you know, true gauge on how well that would have played out. So again, this year we felt only second year into an event being hosted in the park, it's a good idea to have those fireworks available.
Thank you.
The shows are smaller than the one-time traditional show, but everybody goes for the finale anyway.
And
any other questions?
Historically, we've spent about $1,000 a year on our 4th of July fireworks.
Councilman, you got cut off there. I didn't hear the amount.
Just historically, I'm asking, I think it's been about $20,000 a year we spend on fireworks.
Typically, originally it was about 15 when I took over. It slowly went up to 20,000. You were correct there. And then when we added a show, that's where we increased in the amount. There's a certain amount of cost needed for just bringing out the personnel to set up the show and the rental trucks that you can transport the product and insurance. So most of these shows have a $3,500 to $4,000 cost to per show. So that's some of the costs here with three different shows. That's what you're seeing some of that going towards.
Right. We also keep in mind and reminding everyone that during COVID, the last couple of years and even today, we're still adjusting, trying to find out the next normal with respect to COVID. So these are all part of the fabric of our community to attempt to engage the community, get people back involved with our community, and to get away from that what we've had to deal with the last 2 years with COVID. So we're not out of that umbrella yet either. So it's a matter of priorities and trying to figure out how we're going to address the next normal. So that's how we're trying to. We just listened to council. We tried to respond, Chief. Thank you for your information. And yeah, we'll go from there.
I will add that due to COVID, as you know, shipping costs have gone up and their availability of products gone up. So not so much the product itself, but I was informed that their shipping costs have gone up tremendously. Most of their product, all our product comes from China. So the shipping containers increased in cost in terms of that transport. So that's what they explained to me about some of the costs going up. You know, American's one of the bigger outfits in the state, so they bring in all their own product, and then they will sell that to other vendors that are doing displays. But they've got their position so that they would get the best cost on this type of product. So, but that has impacted the overall cost of these shows.
So, I guess my takeaway, what I've heard here, is that spending on fireworks has gone from about $20,000 annually to now $43,000, from one show to now three shows. It sounded like we have some justification for the Home Days Festival. It will bring people in. It will provide a crowd for our nonprofits and the community event. It sounds like the survey, 60% of the residents are saying they want fireworks on the 4th of July. I guess what I'm lacking is the justification for fireworks at Christmas. It sounded like, from what I heard, we had fireworks at Christmas because we didn't want to lose the deposit. And now this is going to be an annual thing. So in my opinion, the next piece of legislation, we're increasing our spending by $690,000, which is unexpected. I don't think we need to increase our budget on fireworks. Based on the discussion I've heard, I'd be in favor of a 4th of July and a Home Days fireworks show.
Anyway, the next thing we have to add on to that, the reason we did that was to address the COVID situation and get people back into the park. But what we discovered was when you shoot a show at 7:30, all the young kids, so the young children and their families are able to participate. Their young kids aren't up at 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night when we shoot the normal fireworks off. So we discovered that there's additional hidden benefit to the younger families who come to the park, who participate in the activities and enjoy Santa and enjoy the ability to see the fireworks. So we found that to be a hidden gem in the recovery process. So, yep. I mean, you can find pros and cons of everything. We will we'll take this opportunity to see how these shows how they fed out this year, and we'll be in a better position next year to determine what we want to do next year. And council will ask for more information. They ask for a July show, independent show. That's what we've presented, and we can use this information as we go navigate forward to determine the future, how we want to do it.
Any other questions? I just have a comment, Mayor. I thank you for being so responsive, and for the chiefs and Emily for putting this together so rapidly. I thought it was really positive, and you were able to put together another show at a fairly minimal amount of money, and I think the community really appreciates it, and we've been responsive to their requests, and I can't say enough about everybody that's done a great job here, so I fully support what we're trying to accomplish.
Thank you. Anyone else? We have a motion and a second.
Yes.
Call the roll.
DeGeronimo? I see he's muted.
Oops. John, you got to unmute.
Guys, I'm sorry. I stepped away.
No problem.
We're voting now. DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Okay.
Tatiati? Yes.
No.
Trakas?
Yeah, aye.
Viverka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
And it's adopted. Okay, Council, we have the next piece of legislation. We have 2022-18. I have a motion read by title only.
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
A resolution amending final resolution 2022-17 for widening and resurfacing the Interstate Route 77 northbound exit and entrance ramps at the Rockside Road interchange and widening bridge number CUI 770837E, located on the Interstate Route 77 entrance ramp over Rockside Road, the CUI 778.3737 northbound ramps safety project.
A motion to suspend the rules.
Motion.
So move.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I have a motion to adopt.
I motion so. To adopt.
Motion and a second. Don, you want to go through your analysis for council's sure, benefit?
Sure. If I could share my screen. One second here. Everyone see that?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, Mayor, members of council, we received notice that the bids were opened and received an email from ODOT on last week, Thursday, the 14th, that the bids had come in above the engineer's estimate that was published at the time of the bid at 3.667 million. The low bidder was Great Lakes Construction in the amount of $4,142,903.94. They gave us an explanation as to where the additional requested $620,000 had come from, and it's made up of construction, obviously, the overage in construction. There's also a component that we've always been responsible for, which is construction engineering. That's the CE. So we've learned that they've been targeting 7% of the construction for construction engineering. ODOT will be responsible to administer construction of the improvement. So that's where you derive the $619,000 from. Just this next slide to kind of help you understand. Early on, when we submitted the safety application back in the March of 2020, the estimated cost of construction was about $3,063,000. And then it had steadily increased over throughout the time between then and now. And you can see with inflation spiking in the state and the country, these prices, initially their estimate was 3.66. That was already near 20% over what the project had started out at per our application. But then the low bidder was even another 13% above their estimate. So a total of 35 overall from back in 2020 for our application. But I thought I would take a step back and help council remember how we got here and try to briefly run through a slide that kind of shows that we've been working on improvements along the corridor Rockside Road for a decade now, since 2012 and 13. And it's really some of the genesis from way back in the alternative study that URS performed in 2012 and 13 was really the crux of the project that we're contemplating now and for which we need the additional funding. And in that study in 2012, URS looked at a number of different items that would help solve some problems, improve operational efficiency and minimize congestion and delays. And right away in that study 10 years ago, they identified two major improvements at the interchange. One was the BP ramp lane widening and southbound entrance ramp widening from one lane to two lanes. And they also identified this widening of the loop ramp. So way back in 2012-13, we started to identify and hone in on this improvement that we then carried forward from that point. We did need to do an operational
interchange modification study to prove and justify to ODOT to even allow us to use our 100% local funds to build that southbound entrance ramp widening project. And through that project, ODOT or URS derived this variable lane use strategy whereby at one peak hour of the day, the lane that needs to be a through lane would be so designated with a changeable sign. And then at the PM peak rush hour period, when that lane needed to be a dual left, it would go to between 3 and 6 PM, it would go to dual left turns. It really maximized the capacity of this intersection and the ramp. So that was approved by ODOT, and we then pursued construction. We designed it, B&N designed it. Anthony Allega constructed it in 2016. We then moved to operational interchange operation study with GPD Group, whereby they continued to study that entire corridor, again, to try to continue to make improvements for our business community. And they studied four specific areas in that study. One of them way out near the corp line, and then the one on focusing on the west side of the interchange, one on the east side. And then further out towards Rockside Place and along near Rockside Woods Boulevard. So there were four specific areas that they studied. One that they focused on that we were most interested in pursuing was this, the very project we are talking about now, which was a major increase in capacity of the northbound exit ramp from 77 to Rockside, doubling its capacity and storage length. Right now it's one left lane, one right turn lane. This would double the capacity, the very project we're entertaining now. Major traffic signal modification to account for the widening and the additional lanes, and then this loop ramp using an additional lane widening, two lanes that would merge to one by the time it getting on near crossing this bridge, the overhead bridge, and then combining back to one by the time it got back to a point just north of Rockside Road. That is the current project that we're contemplating now. We also did some, based on GPD's work, we did some signal modification at Oak Tree Boulevard for the dual left, same thing with the variable lane use. The Highway Safety Program grant, so emanating out of the interchange operation study that GPD did, they moved right through into a safety funding application and targeting a highway safety program funding source where ODOT collects a lot of crash data throughout their state interhighway system, and they have priorities based on crashes, and they have funds set aside to identify solutions and to solve those very safety problems throughout their system. So our study area that GPD focused on was this area east of the interchange on Rockside. And again, these were picking off some high priority areas in the state's network. And it was the application was well received. This is a photo of the congestion that backs up on the main line 77 northbound. And as you can imagine, speeds are at 60, 70 miles an hour on a state highway. The severity of crashes that would occur because of the ramp not having enough capacity to evacuate the traffic on every cycle, it's a major problem. So this was something that ODOT was really interested in solving this problem, and it was packaged together with this loop ramp project. So we were notified that application was due early in March 2020. We were notified by ODOT in the end of March 2020 that we had been selected. This was the funding breakdown, $2.05 million that's been fixed from the beginning. That the Highway Safety Program has a lot of competing entities for the funds. Every dollar is earmarked to communities, and that project, that fund, that amount was capped. It's a little bit of a misnomer that this 90% of everyone we initially thought that this program is eligible to fund up to 90% of a project for construction. That was not what our application was submitted. Our percent split was more like 60-40. So it's a little bit of a misnomer here. As you can see, this split right here was always more like 70-30 or 60-40, never the 90-10. So once we were notified of the selection, we've quickly moved through to hire GPD as the design consultant to put together the engineering design and submit plans through ODOT, which we then just submitted throughout 2021, all of last year. Their various stage 1, 2, and 3 submittals of detailed engineering design were submitted, prepared by GPD, reviewed by us internally, and then submitted to ODOT. Back in September of 21, we had some preliminary legislation that went through council. Ordinance 2021-120 was approved and really set the program, set the contract on the rails to file tracings and to move it to bidding, and committed to the city and state to construct the improvements. As the bid was getting ready to be let, with the inflation spiking throughout the area, ODOT recognized the need and had increased the estimate. They did ask us for a major additional commitment, and we did adopt resolution 2022-17 at the March council meeting, whereby we increased our funding allocation to account for that inflation. A check in the amount of $1.757 million was delivered to ODOT on March 18th so that they could move to the bidding process. So the job was advertised over the course of March. Bids were opened here on April 14th, and that gets us to where we are now. This is a spreadsheet that tries to show you again from the beginning where the dollars are. Here's that construction engineering component for which we were always responsible. The federal money has always been capped. So back in 2020, we were our portion between the construction and this construction engineering for the project was sitting around $1.2 million. And then as we developed the plans and got more focused engineers' estimates, you could see that that number had increased. And then it's steadily been increasing while this number has remained fixed. So this is the bid that was opened. So this just tries to give you a snapshot of where the dollars are and what the, when you look at the percent split now in this column, if we're to approve this additional $620,000, it's really more like the city is upwards of 60% funding the project. And this $2 million is more like 40% now, but still a sizable amount of money. And at this point, we've expended a lot of resources in engineering work and planning through NOAACA. And we're at the 11th hour here now to commit to the additional funds to move this project to construction. I did ask ODOT representative today what our options were, that if we chose not to commit the additional funding, how long this $2,059 would sit in reserve for us, and if there was an idea to wait till inflation settled down and came back down, whether we could resurrect the job and still have the funding, access to the funding, or conversely, if we chose to pony up the additional funds 100% locally, if knowing that many communities might not be able to come up with their local share because of the inflation gap, that in theory it should free up those very highway safety program dollars throughout the state. We asked if we could get in line and be eligible to follow up with some additional requests if those dollars became available to help offset the very money that we're looking to approve tonight. I've yet to receive answers to those questions. I think it's so new and they're dealing with this on the fly. I think many communities will be asking those same questions. Just unfortunately, right now, I don't have the answers. We hope to get them tomorrow morning. They asked us to get back to them by 11 a.m. tomorrow, the 20th, on our response, whether or not we were moving forward. So that's the summary, Mayor.
Any questions by council after Don's thorough analysis or explanation? You can take that screen off, Don. Thank you. If there's no questions?
Based on this additional expenditure, where is the money projects that we go in this calendar year to make this happen? Or where do we sit financially? I know we haven't completed our five-year capital plan, so we haven't even really talked about the major infrastructure projects yet. But maybe the finance director could opine on that.
In all the TIF funds combined, the 2022 annual appropriation ordinance, we appropriated $6,265,000. This will just have to come out of there, just like everything else that's been approved between January 1 and today. And the remaining balance after that is what we have available to work with for all other infrastructure projects that would be funded out of the TIF funds that you state are currently being reviewed by council at this time.
So because we haven't finished finalizing and discussing the five-year capital plan, we don't know what streets we'll be doing this year. We don't know what funds we have for the streets. I guess that's the position I feel council's at right now.
I think the general statement applies that I've mentioned a few times at the capital budget hearings, that the total requests for capital and infrastructure here in 2022 exceed that $12.875 million that's been appropriated for departmental capital purchases and infrastructure projects. I've been very consistent. Our office has been very consistent about that since day one. So it's nothing new. This is just an additional project that, look, it's either the engineer said he's trying to get answers to questions about if additional funding is available. We're operating under the premise that if we don't pull the trigger on this by 11 a.m. tomorrow, we're in all likelihood going to lose this project. In the engineer's timeline, you can see dating back to 2014-15 when initial work was done, and then in 18-19 additional work was done, and then 20 additional work was done, and then finally going out to bid and funding it and everything, and it's culminating today. And it's kind of like, what choice do we have at this point? Either come up with the money or lose the project potentially, unless ODOT responds and says, no, that's not the case. You've got other time. But Don, correct me if I'm wrong, but that email from ODOT said, you have to let us know by 11 a.m. Wednesday, April 20th, whether you're in for the additional $600,000. And left unsaid is what happens if we're not in, but got to assume the worst at this point, that they'll move on and start reallocating these funds to somebody else who's next in the queue.
Correct. That's the concern, that there are unanswered questions. I think they're good, valid questions, but I think the only true way to control our destiny is to deal in the certainty of adopting the ordinance and funding the additional gap from inflation, and then get the improvements constructed.
Let me just ask you a blunt question. How would you prioritize this request relative to other major capital improvements or areas that you're responsible for? Just give us the Reader's Digest version of how you prioritize this.
It ranks very high, primarily because of the grant source and the level and energy and time and resources that it took to get us to the point we're at. Your safety benefit to the highway system, as well as our emergency responders not having to react to the highway system. With these improvements, it should greatly improve safety and efficiency. I think it ranks very high. We do have the ability to control and offset and reprioritize most of our local projects with our local funding. We control that and can shift and adjust as needed here, we're beholden to the federal money. The opportunity may not come around again, or if it does, it may be years from now. It's just uncertain. I think moving forward is the prudent course of action.
You do know that this will, you know, slim up a little bit of other opportunities this year then, and you're willing that you believe this is a priority?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay.
And with the hope that some of that additional funding might become available, and as we've been hearing, the Biden administration has been putting out grant opportunities for all kinds of infrastructure improvements. It seems like there's nothing more shovel-ready than this project. And if this doesn't qualify for those funds, I don't know that, I don't know what would. So I think there's some options available to us, and we just got to try to tap into those.
Any other questions?
I do. Thanks, Don, for the history and catching me up on how long this project's been going. So different than the other roads and projects we're looking at, when there's an ODOT project involved, the future is, I mean, this is going to be an ODOT road as far as repairs and maintenance is not going to be with the city.
Councilman DiGiorno, the ramp improvements, that would be an ODOT facility for any upgrades over time. Anything out on Rockside Road itself, and including the traffic signals, would fall to the city. Just like what is the differentiation even now? That's the case right now.
And then in the ordinance, it references an alternate. So I guess, are we talking about the whole project is kind of going, or is it we've approved the base and there's the alternate for 600, or is it all kind of lumped together?
Yeah, the alternate was a minor dollar value item. It pertained to a specific type of camera video detection device, proprietary, that's consistent with our video detection up and down the corridor or at other locations in the city. So it was a $3,500 minor upgrade. ODOT doesn't fund proprietary or things that are a little bit higher than what they could achieve with some base model equipment. So that's all that was. The 620 is for the whole project, the delta, the gap for inflation to cover the whole project, including the $3,500 alternate, which is what we recommend.
And then is there a timetable, a timeline for a schedule of construction?
Yeah, ODOT has this program, has always been marching along the April bidding. They typically take a few weeks to award the contract and get contracts executed and the contractor mobilized. So I do believe it's a summer construction. It was a, I believe, a 7 to 9 month construction project. So it's definitely gonna try to hit the sweet spot of the summer and fall construction into the early winter of this year.
So, you know, me not knowing the whole history here, and typically I'd say I wouldn't want to postpone a project that we're going to end up doing anyways, even with their inflation. I don't see this prices coming down in the future. But three things that would, you know, have me some concern of moving forward is, one, you know, the study was done before the pandemic. So the traffic studies, I don't have any appreciation for where the, you know, how that southbound entrance to 77 has affected this. You know, whether those same conditions still exist. I know traffic's always moving, it's complex. Number two, the 480 bridge project is now a year away or closer, and that project will increase the capacity by about 50%. There used to be four lanes going each direction, it's gonna be six now. So I think that would help our interchange to some level. And then number three, we've got our five-year capital plan, more eyes on it. So to know what's out there, we know there's some big items. So I don't have any appreciation for what the traffic study was in 17, 18, 19 versus today. I think we all want to see Rockside Road get to where it was, but is it gonna take some time, or are we right back to where we were in 2019 and 2018, where this is still as much of a priority as it was then.
Yeah, Councilman, I think those are valid questions. I don't know that there's any new baselines yet to answer that 100% with certainty. The hope, of course, is that there's a return to the offices for employment, that traffic will start to drive back up. One thing to consider, too, is we do have some large tracts of undeveloped land west of 77 in Seven Hills, and as well as our northwest quadrant. Any future development that does happen there will drive traffic, and it would certainly be a benefit to have these improvements in place rather than not, to be able to account for and accommodate that future traffic. And again, these improvements increase the level of service out there on the corridor and on the interchanges. So that benefits everybody, current and future traffic.
I guess if it's okay, I'll chime in. If it's right, Mayor, I'll chime in.
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess what it's I'm struggling with is the fact that we have, it's not a residential street, and we have several residential streets, whether it's Brookside, Kleber, or Longano, that are in dire need of help. And we've already talked about pushing those streets back a couple years. And we're going to put more money into an exit ramp for 85% of people that do not live in our community. They just come in to go to work and go home. I struggle with that. So if there's somebody that can maybe open my eyes a little bit better on why it is a major necessity for that, that would be
great. Yeah, without those people that come in here and work, we don't have their 2% income tax, so we wouldn't have the money to do the residential streets or this project. So,
well, I get that, but I'm one of seven councilmen that get a phone call. Why would we spend $700,000 on an off-ramp and my road looks the way it is and I have to travel it every day? So it has, you know, hearing resident feedback in a negative manner.
I think if Don had a chance to educate everybody in the community, that would raise their comfort level for sure. I think that we're in a position to understand more fully the responsibilities we have to maintain and upgrade infrastructure. I think Don mentioned that we still have an uncut diamond on the west side of 77. It's called vacant property. And that being the case, one of the challenges we've always had was getting traffic eastbound on 77, eastbound, excuse me, on Rockside, onto 77 north. So there is the ability or capacity to shift that traffic out of that area more quickly, as it used to bottleneck at the West Creek area.
Just a comment related to that is, you know, we were able to relieve some of the northbound 77 option when we put in Rockside Woods North. And I guess John's comment was the one that's probably the most appropriate is, as we are dealing with it now, we probably have a volume that's down. But as we look at the future, there's a potential that there'll be a need, and that's the tough part. The tough part is expending the money in advance when the need doesn't appear currently because of the pandemic to be as much as we thought it would. But obviously, the Rockside Woods North takes care of the 77 North traffic, but it doesn't account for the 480 traffic. So as Chris mentioned, it's really a tough one.
I could say this, that the flat cameras that the city has utilized now for a while, if you look at that camera data, it is indicating an upward trend in traffic in the Rockside Road Business District. We haven't gotten any more granular than just looking at that aggregate data. So I guess on the positive, it means, hey, more people are coming back and working. If that's not true, then it means that more people are passing through the city on Rockside Road. But we'd like to think that the increased traffic numbers is resulting in more people working in Independence once again. And I think that's borne out by the recent income tax numbers that I shared with council last week. So take that for whatever it's worth in your decision-making process.
Mayor, members of council, I do have Kevin Westbrooks is on the line. He's with the GPD group. He is a traffic engineer that may be able to speak to some of the questions relative to the traffic levels. Kevin, if you want to
unmute.
Yeah, thanks. Mayor, Council, in terms of you're discussing, you know, traffic volumes, how they clearly went down, you know, due to the pandemic. What we're seeing is they have gone back up, not to maybe 100% of where we were 2 years ago, you know, in March, but they're on their way back to that. As of a year ago, ODOT was having us. Like for a while, we were adjusting any new traffic counts that we got, had to inflate them to try and replicate old volumes. They've asked us to stop doing that because they feel that the volumes have gotten close enough to the old volumes that this is kind of the new normal, but it's going to continue to ramp up. So we may never see 100% of what we saw on Rockside, but we're going to get pretty darn close to it, and that's excluding all the vacant land. That stuff starts to develop, and you're going to exceed where we were 2 years ago. So I really think the need for it, if there ever was a need for it, it is still going to be there. And this is kind of the last piece that's realistically can be done to Rockside Road. And I'm sorry, I had to jump off the meeting for a little bit, so I missed some of what Don was saying, but you probably talked about how we've adjusted traffic signal timings. We've put that double left turn arrow that's by time of day. The city put that right turn lane to get on the southbound ramp. The city's done pretty much everything you possibly could to that road, short of adding, you know, an additional through lane each direction, which probably would not even help, because it's traffic trying to get to and from the highway that's really causing the problems. This is pretty much the last reasonable thing that you can do. And it's one that we've talked about through the whole process that I've been working with Don over the years to look at Rockside Road. This was always kind of the key one, but we needed to do some of the smaller pieces that were more manageable and you could bite off and address. So we've done all those other pieces, and we've let this last one is, you know, getting that two lanes onto the ramp to head north is going to totally change how the lanes are used on Rockside heading eastbound. You know, hopefully the plan is to no longer have that line that's up against the curb stretch back all the way into Seven Hills. The vehicles will want to use the second lane. Not everybody needs to be in that right lane to hit the freeway. That we've always talked about, that's the key thing to get the traffic to move on Rockside, is to get people to use some of the other lanes instead of just blocking up that one. And, you know, short of this project, Don and I are kind of stumped of what else you could possibly do out there to get the traffic to move better. This is probably the last piece. And just one more thing I'll say is, in terms of the safety money that you've got, the $2 million in safety money that ODOT has given you, as soon as you guys got that money, ODOT realized that their safety program is kind of in trouble in terms of funding. They were giving it out relatively easily up until that point, and then they realized, whew, we've kind of overspent a little bit, and they have clamped down considerably. You pretty much need to have fatalities and a lot of serious injuries to get the kind of money that the City of Independence received in that grant. You don't necessarily have that kind of crash problem. You've got a lot of rear ends. You've got a lot of congestion-related crashes. So I don't see you ever, probably at least in the next 10 years, having an opportunity to get $2 million from ODOT to put towards Rockside Road. Now, granted, a chunk of it's going to their ramp, but that ramp getting improved is going to help the operations of Rockside itself. So just to let you know, and Don, I know you haven't heard back from ODOT yet, but I would expect the answer from them tomorrow, and I'm just speculating, is that they don't have any more money to throw at this. They don't have it in their safety program. They're already overextended. They'd like to see this project happen, but if you said no, they would have that money committed to somebody else by next week. Easily, they'd gladly find a place to throw the $2 million. So I don't see them having anything to throw at this, at least from the safety program. But if anybody has any other questions, I'd love to answer them for you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Don. I guess the two lanes eastbound Rockside to North 77, that's the key part of the project. But, those ramps coming off onto Rockside is probably the lesser of the two components if you thought about splitting the project up. But you might say it's not going to have as much of an effect as the giving you the extra lane going north on 77.
Yeah, I think getting traffic off of Rockside, the two lanes getting onto the ramp, is going to help you. Getting traffic off, it onto the roadway, the ramps will help you. That's probably a bigger safety problem, though, too, is there's more crashes, I think, on the ramp than anywhere else. So you greatly improve the safety. But what it also does with that ramp having so much area to store up volumes and have them all ready to go, it's going to improve the efficiency of that traffic signal. So that same amount of traffic is going to be on the ramp, whether you have three lanes or four lanes, and whether the storage is long. So, but what, when you've got to get them off, you have to give them more green time of the signal. So now that there's going to be four lanes and the cars will be better queued up and not this super long stop and go thing that they've got, you can give less green time to the ramp and more to Rockside Road. So there is, it's an additional benefit of not just making the ramp safer, it's going to help Rockside move better because the ramp won't need so much of the signal's priority. You can give more of that to Rockside Road.
Any other questions?
Jim Trakas has one.
Well, I'm losing power here, and I just would like to proceed to a vote if we can, just because I may not be able to keep my phone going here. So I'm out of town. I'm sorry.
Any other questions? There being no other questions, we'll call the roll.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
DiGeronimo?
Yes.
Okay. And it's adopted. Yeah, thank you. Because, and Kevin, thanks for taking your time. Don, thanks for the efficient summary. This is all about investment in the future and customer service. Everybody that gets off that ramp is a customer one way, shape, or form. So thank you, Council. Don, I think you have your marching orders. With that, I'd just like to also take it one more minute to Jim. Hopefully your battery doesn't fade, but I want to thank Chief Riga, Chief Butler, and Community Service Director Emily for your efficient response to City Council's suggestions and requests relative to community services, specifically the Independence Day fireworks. I want to appreciate Council for your suggestions and your the request for a modification to the program. So thank you very much. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful evening. God bless.
Recording stopped.